All right, so we're going to wrap up the Mesillas Yesharim again. We've been working on where the Mesillas Yesharim talks about Midos. And the truth is, you know, maybe I was thinking once as a project to make a small contrast of this part of Mesillas Yesharim, because it's, you know, not everyone goes through all of Mesillas Yesharim, but a lot of people would want to know how he tells you how to work on your Midos. So I did have a thought, Shmuley, maybe we'll talk about it one time, how to work on a kuntres on this. But we covered a lot of ground. Now we're up to covered. Really? Wow. Let's see how much we're going to do. We have a little bit more to go. I would spend like another week or so on this, but we're a little pressed for time. So let's see what we're going to do. Hashem should be with us. Bezras Hashem. Okay. So we're talking now about the desire for money. And yesterday we talked about the difference between the desire for stuff and the desire for money. Money is options. It's a certain sense of security that you could do a lot of things. It's a separate taiva than the taiva for things. And therefore, the pasuk says, "Oev kesef lo yizba kesef." Someone who loves money will never get enough of it. And what Rav Dessler really explains is, why is it that "Oev kesef lo yizba kesef"? If you love money, you can't get enough of it. The answer is that if the pshat is to get a summer home, so then once you have the summer home, you don't need another summer home. If your goal is just stuff, then you don't always need more stuff. There could be a point where you have too much stuff. I mean, your houses are cluttered and there's only so many places you could travel in the world. But oev kesef lo yizba kesef. Someone who loves money can never get enough of money. Why? If money is options, then you never get tired of options. And the opposite, the more you get options, the more you want more options. And therefore, you can never run out of options. You can never have too many options. So oev kesef, lo yizba kesef, that the more options that you have, you want more and more. Hi hamesiros amin avoda kine kama tefilos nevados v'kama mitzvos nishkachos. How many davenings got ruined and lost? How many mitzvahs got forgotten? For running after, for buying and selling and merchandise. Kol shekein Talmud Torah. Torah is not found across the ocean. What does that mean? To pasuk. Sechazal and Erevin. Ba'osam shaholchem be'ever liyam. Lepischora. People who travel overseas for a business, you're not going to find Talmidei Chachamim who are busy with that. Why? Because it's so time-consuming, and more than time, your whole head and heart are in that, meaning you're putting yourself in. Of course, the Torah speaks very highly and encouraging of making your own parnasa. It's the ideal. It's the ideal to be able to make your own parnasa, but that being said, it shouldn't be with people who are so ambitious in their parnasa that they can't focus on their learning. So these people who are mamish traveling all over the world, the Gemara Erevin says, "Lo me'ever liyamhi." We don't find Torah by such people. V'chein shaninu lo kol amar b'bischora machkim. Not everyone who's ambitious in commerce will become wise. First of all, world travel puts yourself in danger. There's a danger in traveling. Well, even today, there's a danger in traveling. All sorts of things can happen on the road. You know, a lot of times when you're not, I know people who went to countries in Europe and they're not used to like the pickpocketers, their methods, and they get on the train. They go, they're in Switzerland or other countries, and all of a sudden, boom, they like lose their wallets. there's a lot, when you go into other countries, you don't even know how to maneuver and how to behave and how to keep yourself safe. Umateshes es kocho berova daga, and being overambitious in business can cause a lot of worry. I once was watching somebody who's a very ambitious and very successful businessman. Very successful businessman. I was watching him. He had two iPhones glued to both sides of his head. It's kind of like an iPhone sandwich, like this. Like an iPhone sandwich. It was like I was thinking Nebuch, even though he's very successful. But if I ever had to squeeze two iPhones between make an iPhone sandwich, I'll do it again. It doesn't look very good. It looks like you're a very nervous person. And it makes sense with the person is worth a lot of money and he's probably very, very concerned. So that type of lifestyle doesn't always lend itself to being the most zahir in mitzvahs and davening and most certainly in becoming a Talmud Chacham. Of course, we're not speaking badly about people who are professional and doing well. We're simply speaking about the reality that the more financial responsibilities you have, the less likely you are to be able to have that clear peace of mind to become the Talmud Chacham, which is the crowning jewel of creation. And a person should always keep that in perspective. Of course, a person can make a lot of money and delegate the traveling when he's more successful, hopefully, to the people who are lower in the business. But I mean, it's very hard to be that successful that you can be able to just hire and hire people to do all the things that are annoying and time consuming and whatever. But this is the idea that there is a trade-off for being successful in business. There are certain businesses that don't require all that much travel. I mean, a person could be in real estate in this country. Still, they do have to travel, it's true, but they could have more local real estate. It sounds like the Mesillas Yesharim holds that travel itself is something that adds a very big burden and stress on the mind and the heart. It is true, like, you know, when after you get off a plane, it takes a while to recuperate from that. And if a person, that's his life, the odds of him being able to have that peace of mind is very, very, very slim. V'chein shenina marbe nechasin marbe daga. The more stuff you have, the more you worry. It's actually interesting. I know people who have multiple homes, and I find that they're always on the phone with somebody because something breaks in one of their houses. So, like, they could perpetually be on the phone. A pipe busted in their house in Florida, and the dishwasher is broken in LA. And their bungalow in the Catskills has frozen pipes. A person can, the more things you have, the more you have to take care of them. And people who have a lot of stuff will tell you that there really is a lot of worry that it comes along with these things. Hi hamaveres pam rabos al mitzvah satorah, v'afilu achukos ha-seichel ativim. Person, because of his stuff, can many times be over on averus because of trying to save his stuff or salvage things. He can even not act illogical, right? Sometimes things just being absorbed in material objects, a person can act ridiculous, and people around them could like think they're being so silly and so small-minded with all of their cheshbonos about nechasim. It can be very disappointing. Okay, so that's about mammon. We're going to try that experiment. Does anyone have any questions? You can raise your hands about the issues of money. because I feel like I leave you hanging over here. So I'm going to check my screen to see if anyone's raising their hands. Nobody. I'm going to count to 7, Mississippi. 6, Mississippi. Nobody. Wow, it's so quiet.
E.H. is raising his hand. But
who is?
E.H. I don't know who that is.
Oh, how come I don't see it? How do I see that? Oh, E.H. You're raising your hand? No, you were just raising your hand, but you weren't using the blue hand guy. Ellie, you can speak. I just didn't, I can't hear you.
Ellie? Ravi, can you see the chocolate hand?
Let me see. Can I see a chocolate hand? No, I'm going to still work on the technology, but let's hear what's going on.
Can't the same thing also be like if a person doesn't have money, right? It could also have the same kind of effects that he won't be able to focus and learning and whatever. It's like balance, no?
It's very true. So it's exactly, it's a very important point. And because the Mesillas Yesharim here is talking about Chemdas Mamon, he's focusing on people who take things to the next level, meaning the Mesillas Yesharim would never speak disparagingly, negatively against anyone who's making a parnasa. And perhaps even for the reason that you said, that Imein Kemach in Torah, I could quote as many chazals, that when a person doesn't have a livelihood, so they can't learn. Imein Kemach in Torah, right? That a person needs a livelihood in order to be able to even learn Torah. So it's all a balance. It's about finding a way of supporting your family, however that might be, and then knowing how to take care of your needs and not let things get out of control. Certain people, you know, I'll mention this now, even though it's not really a fully public VOD, so I'm happy to mention this. First of all, two things. One is kolel could be a parnasa if it works. Meaning that's the whole point of kolel is people in Klal Yisrael who believe in us learning. If the money itself is enough to get by, then that's called a parnasa. Because that's what you need. Meaning it doesn't mean you have to work for a living. So if somebody was able to maintain himself based on kolel, so then that would be in this context a parnasa. But what is interesting also I would mention is that some people are meant to be aggressive businessmen. That's their shlichus. And it's not, you're not gonna have people who are very talented and they have trouble sitting. A lot of them have become very big supporters of Torah and Klal Yisrael. And I know in certain cases of these people who were encouraged by Gedolim to do what they're doing, because every person has their shlichus. Not everybody is cut out to sit and learn, and certain people really shine in the workforce. But shining in the workforce means, first and foremost, being a real example of integrity and honesty. The first and most important part of shining in the workforce is to be known for your integrity. If someone skips that step, even if they give a lot of tzedakah, then that's a problem. And it's important to realize that's the first way we shine in the workforce. Yoni is raising his hand. Yoni, leave your blue hand there. I'm going to press it soon and see what happens. I want to finish this thought. That's the first and foremost, is to be known for your integrity. The next thing is then, if you're really working for the Klal, I know a few people who really spend a large amount of their money giving it to Klal Yisrael and supporting Torah institutions, then their work is Avodas Hashem. And it's when they have two iPhones, the iPhone sandwich like we made over there. So that actually is a form of Avodas Hashem for those people. Again, each person needs their own hadracha. You're not going to find what I'm saying in a sefer, because it's really for unique situations. And the Torah doesn't create just cookie cutter models. The Torah has that each person has their own particular shlichus, and they need a competent madrich to tell them what to guide them, I guess, and what's good for them. Yoni, I'm going to press this. Let's see if it works. I pressed your hand. Did something happen?
No, nothing happened, but here, I'll lower it.
I pressed it, and no, it's worked. I don't know. Something happened. Take the credit, Yoni. It was my pressing.
Yeah. Maybe Rebbe could teach me how to use the Zoom thing.
Yoni, you're from California. You know a lot more than me.
What I wanted to ask, I had two questions about this topic, but one that's right, like more pressing, more nogea. Is there a concept that any koach of a person could be channeled through Torah? Like any method of self-expression, any, let's say a person feels like he'll be a great businessman. Is there, you could find that in your pursuit of becoming a Talmud Chacham? Or some facet of learning that will fulfill that, or will it not be fulfilled?
I would say the following. It's a good question. I'm not sure. I think that the most simple answer is that every koach that you have is for Avodas Hashem. And Avodas Hashem is a very large spectrum of various aspects of life, of chesed, of Torah, Harbatzas Torah, Ben Adam Lamakom. Every person has kochos that can be used in all realms of Avodas Hashem. I don't know if they're necessarily going to show up in Torah, but ultimately anything that's used for Avodas Hashem will lead to more Torah in the world. So maybe not directly in Torah, but indirectly, it's definitely your shlichus and will lead to a lot more learning of Torah, will even maybe even more creative types of learning Torah. You know, like I met somebody who is a producer, a talented movie producer, and he produces Jewish movies. Real Kiruv type videos. Now, I don't believe that what he's doing is Torah, but it's promoting Torah, which is a wonderful thing that he could very well be using these talents to promote Torah in a way that nobody else could do. And I learned a new word, I think, from my friend Zevi Kaufman called influencers. You know what that is, influencers? People are influential today. So if someone is an influencer, right? Did I say it right? Influencer?
Yeah.
So he essentially is somebody who, that's a koach. That's a koach that could be used. And I think that it's a little dangerous to turn everything into a blat gemara, because you're going to leave a lot of people hanging. If a person knows how to sing, I don't believe that that singing is going to turn into a perish on the Torah. But it could turn into beautiful expressions of his Divrei Torah through song, which are ma'orer people to understandings of Torah. But we don't have to be afraid of saying that Avodas Hashem, which is Torah, Avodas Hashem is Torah, is expansive. I think there's a certain fear of saying that people, of having things that are not exactly Torah. Everything is Torah that's Avodas Hashem.
Is there a mile of it directly being Torah as opposed to just a couple steps removed?
I think that the word mila is a good word, but it's a dangerous word. Meaning, it's always the most fortunate is the person who can sit and learn Torah. I feel very fortunate. I'm less fortunate than the people in Kailo in some ways, because I can't learn Torah all day. I'm more fortunate in some ways. I don't believe I would have come out with a sefer if I didn't have the achrayus of being Marbitz Torah. So there were pros and cons in my learning that came up. But I'll tell you why it's dangerous to say, to get too focused on this. It says in the Torah, smach zvulin b'tzeisecha yisachar bo alecha, that zvulin, who was supporting Yisachar should be happy. And the Midrashim explained that it was hard for Zvulun to be happy, because imagine you're supporting Yisachar, your brother, in learning. Zvulun was an entire Shevet that went out on ships. It was very difficult for them. And they were supporting their brother, Yisachar, who was an entire Shevet of Klal Yisrael. And the Pasuk says, Smach Zvulun B'tzei Secha. A lot of people think that Balabatim are... Balabatim are people. Get back to this. So this is a very important point. And Yoni, this is very subtle. So the pasuk says, "Smach Zvulun b'tzei secha." Zvulun should be happy. Why does it say that Zvulun should be happy? The answer is, and this is not well known, Zvulun, who was supporting Torah, was not a gvir who was sitting on the, who was like skiing down the slopes of Aspen. Zvulun was like coughing up blood because he was a shipman and he spent his life on ships. He was nauseous and sick and it was very hard. And here his brother Yisachar is busy learning Torah in like with a coffee. You know, he's got a coffee, a shtender. In the olden days, he had a cigarette. Now we know cigarettes are dangerous, but he probably in those days had a cigarette like the old time Gedolim. And the Pasuk says, be happy, Zvulun. What does that mean, Yoni? It's saying be happy. You know what I think it's saying? And listen to this well, because I don't know when we're going to be able to express this again. It's saying, Zvulun, don't think that you got the short end of the stick. Be happy because you're doing what you're supposed to. Smach Zvulun B'tzei Secha means that Zvulun, Hashem wants you to be on a ship. Do it with a smile and feel like you're fortunate. Now, again, we don't know. In the days of the Torah, we were all knew who Zvulun was. He was a Shevet that was going on ships. Today, obviously, we don't have Nevi'im. And we don't have people saying who should be on a ship and who should be in the base medrash. However, let's be honest. Of course, there are elements of Klal Yisrael that should be supporting Torah. Who are they? They need Rabbeim and they need Hadracha and whatever it is. But whatever people are doing, once they feel that they're doing their shlichos, they must be besimcha. Smach Zvulun B'tzei Secha is a klal. That if you're doing Avodas Hashem, that is not exactly, I have a bunch of reasons to feel like I'm not in Koilo. A lot of reasons. The way I'm learning today is not like the way I learned in Koilo. So I should be sad about it? No. Smach Chaim Dov B'tzei Secha. You're dealing with a generation of, you know, sometimes it's hard for me that I say to myself, this Ben Azmanim, I had such beautiful things that I wanted to, that I learned. And then I'm like, now I'm going to go back to saying shmuzin to people who might even watch movies sometimes. You know how painful that is for me? No, I actually thought about it. I'm like, do I want to go back to this? I'm like, look at these nice things that you're working on here. Do you want to reduce all your Torah to convincing people not to watch inappropriate things? And the answer is, Chaim Dov, stop being a baby and just be happy that you are a shliach of Hashem. If any person wants to, they could really say that they're not in the base medrash in their shlichus, but that's ridiculous. And I do feel so fortunate. It is so wonderful. All of these tzaddikim who are here on the line with me, I'm looking at each one's face. These are all malachi Hashem, and it's a schus. It was worth it to do what I'm doing just to get to know each and every one of you.